Here's ahead of the dominant media. Find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn. Roll away the dawn and let me see the land of the free. Anything changed now? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Wednesday. It is the 8th of June in the year 2005. And it was 92 degrees here today. And it was hot, and it was lovely because it's gardening time, folks, and I hope that you're gardening and not just thinking about it. I hope that you're doing it, and it is a blessing when we have the opportunity or take the opportunity. Our spiritual message this evening is once again from the Course in Miracles, from the text on page 44. Peace is a natural heritage of spirit. Everyone is free to refuse to accept his inheritance, but he is not free to establish what his inheritance is. Would you like to hear that again? Peace is a natural heritage of spirit. Everyone is free to refuse to accept his inheritance, but he is not free to establish what his inheritance is. I love that. And our guest again this evening, folks, is Stephen Jacobson. We were last night, our hour was up so fast, and we were in such a, to me, intriguing conversation and important. And Stephen and I talked afterwards, and so I didn't coerce him. I asked him to please come back tonight. And what I didn't know is that he had a tape queued up for us to hear, and we're going to do this tonight. And this is going back to our the beginning of our conversation last night, Trinity Broadcasting and the apostate Christianity. And Stephen, when you said last night that, you know, this, you see that this is intended to be the new world religion, I see that.
Good. I've been saying it for a while.
Well, I know, but thank you for, because I wasn't getting it, Stephen.
I think the strategy of using religion and Christianity in particular in that way probably has been in the works for several hundred years. It was very noticeable back during the 1980s, during Reagan's administration, and some of the comments that would be made in the press and even by Reagan himself regarding the role of religion. One incident that comes to mind is the proclamation that President Reagan signed in 1983, declaring that 1983 was the year of the Bible, and speaking to the national religious broadcasters that year, he stated that within the covers of that single book are all the answers to all the problems that face us today, if we'd only look there. Now, he sounds like any fundamentalist preacher
today
or even back then, because it was he was reflecting the sentiments of Reverend Jerry Falwell at the time, who would say that if a man stands by this book, holding up the Bible, then vote for him. If he doesn't, then don't. And so we've seen this this intertwining and intermingling of politics and religion that I believe is intentional to move us eventually to the establishment of a Christian theocracy, or an apostate Christian theocracy in this country.
Yeah, but it's actually Talmudic, Stephen. I mean, it's all based on the Old Testament.
Well, there is that the merging of the Old Testament and the New, or let's say it's really not Old Testament religion. It's the it is a brand of Judaism that traces its descent to the Pharisees, and it's really Phariseeism.
Well, Phariseeism, isn't that Talmudism?
I guess you could say that. What I'm saying is that it's a earthly kingdom religion. It's based on it's really a very materialistic concept of religion. That has infiltrated and destroyed the religion of the ancient Hebrews, becoming Judaism, and that same virus has infected Christianity, where the concepts and ideas have been materialized, where people want to receive rewards and material rewards and material fruits for their spiritual efforts and for their spiritual beliefs.
And yet we know that they're not spiritual in any way, shape, or form. Alan and I were talking earlier today and about Benny Hinn,
mm-hmm.
You're going to be telling our listeners about this, but he said he's got a couple of videos of Benny Hinn's, and he actually says on there, in one of his sermons or whatever on television, I don't want gold when I'm in heaven. I want gold now. I want gold now. Jesus wasn't poor. And that's totally, period. Materialist.
Oh, it certainly is, and I mean, not picking on Benny Hinn or picking on Trinity Broadcasting. Just they are examples of this transformation that religion has been going through, where it is not does not reflect the teachings of Christianity 2,000 years ago, or the original teachings. That it's something that is totally different. I've heard on religious broadcasting a preacher say, and it may have been Benny Hinn, I don't recall, but a preacher saying that if your pastor is not prosperous, materially prosperous, that you're in trouble, that material prosperity is a reflection of spiritual advancement or favor, or God's favor on you.
Wow!
So it's a very dangerous.
And they're leading people right into this, aren't they?
Well, yes, they are leading them. They're programming and conditioning them ideas, beliefs, and concepts to lock them into a program. Lock them into a particular interpretation of scriptures or various parts of scriptures, so that people are going to respond to their programming. It's the all propaganda, all advertising is based on building conditioned responses in people, and the same thing applies to the misuse of religion, is to program people to a predetermined response to ideas. And so they're not responding to the spirit that has all the answers for each and every individual, they're responding to their programming that kicks in automatically whenever certain triggers are tripped, whenever information or messages are presented to people. So it's very dangerous because not only does it harm the believer who is trapped into this mental programming and conditioning, but it also allows those people to harm others in the name of religion, those who don't believe in the same way that they believe. We were talking, you and I, last week. I came across news clipping regarding the increasing power of evangelical Christians at the United States Air Force in Colorado.
Oh, yes.
Where in Colorado Springs, where in effect evangelical Christianity has been established as the official religion of the Air Force Academy. Last season, the football coach hung a banner in the locker room saying I'm a Christian first and last. I'm a member of Team Jesus Christ. And seniors have been exercising, putting pressure on their classmates to believe as they do, and also teachers at the academy have placed pressure on students to pick up on the same kind of mindset. It led to when the head chaplain
complained about it. It sounds so innocent.
Yeah, it sounds that way.
Yeah.
But the net effect of it is extremely dangerous, not only for the mission of the United States Air Force Academy, but it illustrates an infiltration within the military itself that's been going on for a good while regarding religion. And this ultimate merging of Christianity and politics and military action.
And now we have George Bush, who so many people believe, when he said that God told him to attack Iraq.
Yes.
Many people believe that, Stephen.
Well, I know. Many preachers have become politically active because of George Bush's claim to have been born again. And there was an incident not too long ago here in North Carolina where the preacher told his congregation that if people were not willing to support the agenda of George Bush, they were not going to be welcome any longer at that particular church.
Oh my!
And
God.
There was such an uproar. The pastor, eventually had to resign from the church itself because such a stir. But it only shows that the feelings run very strong on this issue of desiring the government to reflect the religious views of this very much growing minority. We're talking about millions of people who believe in this way. And when you add to that what we were talking about last evening, the World Prayer Team concept of getting large numbers of people to pray at the same time about the same thing, to cause amplify that mind power, to have an impact on things that manifest in the material world.
Yes.
Then you have something going on as an undercurrent that has not been and is not being brought to the attention of the American people, and something that they should be aware of. And it certainly gives to contemplate it. It gives you pause to to think about the implications of this.
Wow. And it isn't just here in the U.S. That, see, that's when I guess maybe that it finally got through to me that it isn't just here in the U.S., but it's all over the world. And remember last night when we were talking after the broadcast, and I had this thing on Bill Bright, the gatekeepers, and it says that the campus crusade for Christ, which has more than 16,000 full-time staff and 101,000 trained volunteers in 161 countries.
That's a lot of people working towards a certain end.
It's all the UN nations.
And it is global. Giving credence to the idea to consider the possibility that this apostate Christianity has been formed and is being manipulated to become the new world order religion.
Yeah.
Especially when you have, using TBN, Trinity Broadcasting is a good example of this, that they began as humble beginnings and now they are a global organization in many nations around the world, but having made great inroads in communist China and building TV stations in communist China and in former communist nations to broadcast their brand of the gospel, which is a materialistic version of Christianity, to bring in the kingdom of God on earth, which is a material view.
And remember that the World Prayer Team says that it is non-denominational.
Yes.
So they'll just leave the word Christianity off it eventually.
Well, perhaps I don't know. What I'm saying, developing is by merging religion and politics, it will facilitate the ultimate confrontation with the Islamic world, which I believe is intentional.
Of course.
That and bringing us closer to a wider war in the world. Meant to reduce the population. It's a measure for population control, using religion as it has been used before, to stir up the emotions of people to be willing to fight for their belief. And it's like you have this idea that has been built in to organized religion, where people have this tendency to, and they're encouraged to have the tendency to believe that the culture and religion that they were born into is the best.
Yeah.
The
only one.
And the only one that has any validity, which creates enmity immediately between.
So, in other words, are you saying that you, at least the, maybe the way you're seeing it,
mm-hmm.
is that ultimately this will turn into a, quote, religious war?
Yes, yes. I think we see examples of it
in
just the so-called war on terrorism and the war against Al-Qaeda. We have the beginnings of that because it's drawn along a religious line.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And if you recall, in the writings of Masonry, in particular Albert Pike, who wrote Morals and Dogma, in his letters, he had written, and this goes back to the 1860s, he had written about three world wars and describing what was going to happen. We've already seen the first two having occurred, and the third one is yet to be. A lot of people believe that it's going to happen, that Armageddon is going to occur in the Middle East, and so world events are manipulated to fit a particular interpretation of Bible prophecy. So,
or maybe it isn't Bible prophecy. Maybe it's the priesthood that had control of the writings that laid out their plan and are fulfilling it, Stephen.
That is correct. That's what I mean.
Oh, okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So where do we go from here?
Well, you know what I'd what I would like you to do, if you would, are you going to? I'd like our listeners to hear that clip that you've got.
Oh, sure.
To get. I mean, I don't watch Trinity. I saw Benny Hinn one time,
mm-hmm.
and the guy is so seductive. He is so. He talks in that soft voice with that foreign accent. You know, he is a Jew, and not maybe that means anything. But
no, I think Palestinian Catholic.
Huh?
Palestinian Catholic.
Oh, is that what he claims?
That's what I...
Well, Alan, I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure Alan said that he is a Jew.
That's not my understanding.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. anyway, it doesn't really matter. But this is the kind of broadcasting that's going on Trinity.
Well, not just them, but a lot of religious broadcasting. Using Benny Hinn as an example, these mass rallies, where they're speaking to tens of thousands of people at the same time. Where they're using music and light shows and then the charismatic speakers, and Benny Hinn is a charismatic speaker.
Charismatic, right.
It has the same look and feel as the mass rallies that were held in Nazi Germany, particularly as depicted in Leni Riefenstahl's film, Triumph of the Will, where people get caught up in the flashiness of the show itself, and in the emotions. It is a very strong and seductive way of manipulating people's thinking. Good preachers are also good hypnotists. They have a style of preaching. They use their voice and the pattern of speaking in a manner that is very similar to the pattern speech of a hypnotist. An extreme example would be, I've observed this in Dr. D. James Kennedy of Coral Ridge Church in Florida, on broadcasts where he is speaking. The manner of delivery is extremely deliberate, and his delivery is entrancing. You really get caught up in it. The care of he gives particular care to his enunciation, and he clips words, a very distinct, crisp kind of delivery that is very hypnotic. Well, a lot of preachers...
But a lot of people wouldn't recognize that, would they?
No, I don't believe so,
huh?
Unless they were aware of some of these techniques. And
I think you're just a little bit closer.
Yeah, I'm getting a little... Sure.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't know unless they were aware of some of these techniques. A lot of preachers will holler, yell, scream at their congregation,
uh-huh.
Which is a technique of making the listener highly suggestible to the message. In a book called The Battle for the Mind, this is back in 1957, British psychiatrist Dr. William Sargent wrote the book. He had studied during World War II soldiers traumatized by the war, studied the effects of extreme prolonged stress on them, and made a comparison in the context of his book, a comparison between the physiological techniques of political indoctrination and religious conversion, and came to the conclusion that the techniques were identical.
And
especially in preaching and the use of the voice, the use of clapping, of singing, of dancing, to work people up into an emotional frenzy, up to the point of collapse, literally emotional collapse, where ideas and information could be implanted, and people would be literally programmed to believe and respond in particular ways. Well, things haven't changed that much.
Yeah.
And the particular clip that I keyed up on a broadcast from Benny Hinn.
You know what?
What?
We're going to be taking our half-hour break in just a few minutes.
Okay.
You know what I'd like you to do?
We can wait after the...
Yeah,
sure.
And tell them about it. But before we do that, give them your address, tell them about your tapes, and how they can get them in your phone number.
Sure.
Would you do that, Stephen?
Sure. The website, my website is called mindcontrolinamerica.com, mindcontrolinamerica.com, and it has information about two audio documentaries. The first one is titled Mind Control in America, which is a summary of the mind control issue. It defines the principles involved, describes the techniques, gives examples for the listener to hear, so that they have a frame of reference from which to recognize these techniques when they observe them being used, and thereby have the opportunity to pull away from it. And then the companion audio, which is also about mind control, it is called Wake Up America. It is about mind control as it applies to money and economics, because psychological warfare and economic warfare work together, and they are being waged against the public and have been for a very long time. The audios are $15 each when ordered separately, $25 for the two audios when ordered as a set, and that includes shipping. And you can order online, or you can through the mail by sending the order to me at MCIA Media. That's the initials MCIA Media, the initials for Mind Control in America, MCIA. P.O. Box 15734, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem. It's two words hyphenated, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113, zip 27113. That's MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113. And the phone number here in Winston-Salem is area code 336-723-6535. 336-723-6535. And again, the website is mindcontrolinamerica.com.
That's cool. Thank you, Stephen.
Well, thank you.
I didn't hear the half hour. We get a little warning, and sometimes it's very faint, but we've got maybe about 30 seconds before we're going to have our half-hour break. Folks, keep your pen in hand, please, and you'll be getting my address if you would like to see this broadcast. Help the broadcast to stay on the air. And there is our our half-hour break. I think my clock might be... Maybe my battery's running a little slow, Stephen.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, you'll be getting my address. Please write it down. And before this hour ends, I'll ask Stephen to give you his address one more time and his phone number. And we'll be back. And then Stephen, I would like you to explain to them what they're going to hear.
Yes.
The way you did with me last night.
Yes.
Okay. And then you'll hear this clip, folks. And so you stay right here, and we'll be back with you. with Steve Jacobson.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dog.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, we're back with Steve Jacobson, folks. And Stephen, would you want to explain to them now what they're going to be hearing?
Yes. Many times in watching, checking out religious broadcasting to see what they're doing, and primarily because they are using the same manipulative techniques that the secular media does. A number of times I've seen preachers, when they're giving their delivery of the message, that they'll put their hand up towards the camera and invite the television viewer to place their hand on the television screen and pray with them. Well, what I'm going to play is a variation on that theme somewhat. When I first heard the saw a video of a broadcast of Benny Hinn with Paul and Jan Crouch on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, Benny Hinn was describing a vision that he had that the programming of TBN would resurrect the dead. Yes, that's what I said. The programming on Trinity Broadcasting Network, on television, would literally raise the dead. That people would bring their dead loved ones, wheel the coffin in front of the TV set, and the programs would raise the dead. Now, I know that sounds pretty ridiculous. I didn't believe it myself, even while I was watching the video. But he actually says this, and then towards the end of this little clip, he says that people will bring their loved ones. They'll tell the undertaker not to take them, to wait, that they want to place the coffin in front of the TV set for 24 hours, and take the hands of their dead loved ones and raise them towards the television screen, and that they will be resurrected. So I'll go ahead and key this up and play this
now,
so that you can hear it.
You have it just a little bit louder than you did.
Yes, I do.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Here it goes.
Thanks, Stephen.
For TBN, you're going to have people raised from the dead watching this network. You're going to have people raised from the dead watching TBN. Programs, just plain programs. Programs that haven't done much when it comes to supernatural manifestations, teaching programs. it's not going to be a Benny Hinn saying, stretch your hands. It's going to be your average teaching program, your normal Christian program that's blessing the church. There will be such power on these programs. People will be raised from the dead worldwide. I'm telling you, I see this in the spirit. It's going to be so awesome. Jesus, I give you praise for this. That people around the world, maybe not so much in America, people around the world who will lose loved ones will say to undertakers, not yet. I want to take my dead loved one and place them in front of that TV set for 24 hours.
Benny.
I'm telling you, Jesus. I'm telling you, I feel the anointing talking here.
Jesus.
People are going to be canceling funeral services.
Merciful.
And bringing their dead in their casket. Placing them, my God, I feel the anointing here. Placing them before a television set, waiting for God's power to come through and touch them.
Merciful.
It's going to happen time and time. So much is going to spread. You're going to hear it from Kenya to Mexico to Europe to South America, where people will be raised from the, so much so that the word will spread that if some dead person be put in front of this TV screen, they will be raised from the dead, and they will be by the thousands. You wait. Now, the Lord just told me, and I don't know whether this is true or not. As I'm saying this, the Lord said He gave you that word many, many years ago.
I have said that. Yes.
Yeah. Now, I don't remember you saying that to me ever.
No, I didn't.
But well, the Lord just sent me, He said, I've told them this already.
Yeah. The Lord spoke that to me in the very beginning of TBN, and I didn't really...
You had a dream.
Yeah, tell them about that little...
That's just a dream that people were being raised from the dead.
Yeah. I just...
Years ago.
No, it's on tape. I said, but the day is coming.
I see quite something amazing. I see rows of caskets lining up in front of this TV set. And I see him bringing them closer to the TV set. And as people are coming closer, I see actually loved ones picking up the hands of the dead and letting them touch the screen. And people are getting raised as their hands are touching that screen. With this program, I'm not talking about my program. I'm talking about programs, plain programs. Eric, the glory of God will be so on TBN that there's going to be divine resurrection happening.
You hear that?
Oh, Stephen. I'm glad I didn't hear the whole thing last night. I asked him to let me hear the rest of it tonight, folks. Stephen, did you hear what he said? He said the Lord just told
me. I know.
The Lord just told me, and I don't know if it's true.
Isn't that incredible?
Did you hear me giggling?
No, I didn't hear, because I couldn't, because I had to place the receiver.
The Lord just told me, and I don't know if it's true.
Yes, isn't that telling? And then also his comment about this phenomenon occurring in around the world, but maybe not so much here
America.
In America,
yeah.
Because really, we're Americans are too sophisticated to fall.
But he didn't say that.
For that extreme, but what it's pointing? No, he didn't say that.
Do you really believe that there aren't people here in America?
Oh, no, I'm sure there are. Those who, many of his followers would accept that hook, line, and sinker. But what he's saying is that where they have inserted themselves in third world countries in particular, in Africa and in Asia, especially going into places that and putting a lot of money into a particular area to alleviate the material suffering of people, which is certainly a Christly thing to do, to relieve suffering, but they have the ulterior motive of feeding them their brand of the gospel as well, which only increases my this feeling of that I have, and I think there's plenty of evidence for it, that this apostate Christianity is going to be used, the strategy is to use it as and develop it and nurture it as the new world order religion.
You know, I was thinking about this while we were on our break, when we keep calling it apostate Christianity. It's apostate Christianity as Christianity has been given us.
Yes.
But that's apostate anyway.
Well,
but
yeah.
The only reason, just let me complete this thought, honey. The reason that they would be able to do this, Stephen, is because of the lies that have been told, and because of the contradictions that are in the book, in the Bible. And, you know, it occurred to me that Christianity was created to be destroyed when the lies start to become apparent. And that's been my concern all along, that people will, you know, it's like finding out Christmas, you know, the Festival of Lights, the Saturnalia, those kinds of things. That was my toughie, one of the worst. Because there, anyway, it doesn't matter. But the thing is, my concern is that so many people will throw the baby out with the bathwater, and just say, "Oh hell, you know, there's what difference does it make? It's all a big lie," and easily slip and fall into the live, what do they say it, eat, drink, and be merry?
Live for today. Because,
live for today,
This is the only life there
That's
is.
That's right.
Yeah, well, they do encourage that, and certainly they want to take away people's hope, and they do appear to desire to retard the spiritual growth of the population. I think you're being kind
and you're speaking here. It appears.
Well,
we see
that it certainly looks that way. I believe that that's exactly what they're doing. Rather than doing and fulfilling the obligation that a ruling authority has, or a ruling class has, and in the ancient world, religion was called the kingly science, that the leaders, the kings, would administer society under the guidance of the priestly class, the true priests, who were looking out for the spiritual benefit.
Close there.
Looking out for the spiritual benefit of the entire population. Uh-huh. So it was gradually raise the consciousness of their population. But then the priestly class was corrupted because of power has a tendency to corrupt, and then bringing us to the kind of situation that we have. Have today, where a religion is being used without ulterior motives, which it has long.
Don't you think it always has been?
Well, in the beginning, no. The ulterior motive was for the benefit of society at large.
How do you know that, Stephen?
How do I know that? Just from study, from talking to enlightened souls, and this is cyclical.
Are you saying then that the priesthood, if we're talking about the same priesthood,
we're not, because at one time, they were honorable, and that they were good and were doing working with the civil authorities for the spiritual upliftment of society, but then that degenerated into something else and got corrupted, where organized religion became a control mechanism, where they worked hand in hand with the civil authorities, or very often they were the civil authorities, simply to control the population, and they couldn't. There was no interest in the spiritual growth and development of their people. which is where we're at here. We were talking about this last night, the changes that the teachings of Christianity went through with the development of the Gospels by the Catholic Church and their takeover or hijacking of Christianity.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
Well, I was also going to say that in spite of that, there is the information is still in there.
Yes, it is.
For people to attain the goal. I mean, if you take just the in a red-lettered Bible that has the words of Jesus in red, that is the essence.
Well, it is and it isn't. It's like the example I used last night. He's allegedly said, anybody who hurts one of these little ones that believe in me, I say that he did not say that because he loved all children and all children didn't believe in him because all children didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it goes way beyond just reading in the red. They've twisted. Think about the Lord's Prayer, how he said, when they said, how do we pray? And he said like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Lord's Prayer, we're asking, our Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, Stephen, I knew as a teenage girl when we did that in church that there was something wrong with that. Because my question was, why would he lead us into temptation? He wouldn't. He wouldn't. We would not be led. And so, if you change that word, lead us out of temptation, it changes the whole meaning of that thing.
Yes.
And it's like the song, and I didn't know this, but some of our listeners told me this when I brought it up one night, because I was in the Lutheran church. We sang this song, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Well, we sang that every single Sunday. So what we were saying is, we believed that maybe God would get ticked off at us and eject us or reject us.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we are one with our Father and cannot be separate. But see, we're begging, cast me not away from your presence, take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and once again, this isn't to be argumentative, but, and I do know it is, the truth is there, but it goes beyond just reading the red. It's discernment, Stephen.
Well,
knowing in our heart.
That's true, but there also has to be guidance from one who knows, and that's what the preacher is supposed to be.
I didn't have guidance from one who knows, and I knew, and I'm asserting it now as one who knows, and I don't have any letters after my name either. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that in itself isn't qualification. What I'm saying is that the you using Jesus as the example, that the information was transmitted from master to disciple, from a realized being to one who was who had not come to that place of realization of their true self or their true identity. So that guidance is necessary, whether ultimately it does come from within, but one still requires a spiritual guide, a spiritual master, and that's how the institution has existed and still exists all over the world, of this information, true spiritual knowledge being transmitted from one to another.
You know, people aren't all, very few people are have available to them a, quote, spiritual master.
Sure.
So but as Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And it is going within I mean, I don't. I'm not saying I went within when I was a teenager, because I didn't. That I know of, I thought a lot. I asked a lot of questions. You know, when I was awake all night long, half the night as a night owl. But that's not the point. You assert that there has to be a spiritual teacher. Are you saying then that people who don't have, quote, a spiritual teacher are lost, or
no,
they're never going to know?
Well, it will make it easier if you have someone to guide you.
It would, but if you don't,
and
it doesn't mean that you're never going to know.
No, it doesn't mean
that.
Because
it's within us. The knowing is within us, Stephen.
It's not. It's yes. It is. But people need a guide to find that place within themselves.
Or how about just being still?
Well, that is the ultimate instruction.
And how about asking, as Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you."
All those things are true, but it's. It requires more than more than the acceptance of a belief or an idea or a concept.
No, I understand that. I mean this literally. Asking.
Yes.
Seeking.
Yes.
Knocking.
Having a lust. And that,
having a thirst, a hunger.
Right. That you have to have that. But spiritual practice is required as well. And that isn't taught. The practice of going within and being silent.
In other words, even how to learn how to still the conscious thoughts that keep
to still part of the spiritual practice of all religions has focused on controlling the mind, because the mind runs amok.
The thoughts, yeah.
And that's where meditation is extremely important, and that isn't emphasized in. Very often it's discouraged.
You know what they're doing in the schools now, with the children? They're doing visualization, Stephen.
Okay.
It would be okay if it was a parent, a quote spiritual teacher, guide.
Well, I say okay, but I'm acknowledging that is so.
No, yes. In other words, the teacher is putting them into a relaxed state.
Okay.
They're doing the techniques and putting those children into a relaxed state, and then teaching them. They're giving them their visualizations.
Well, that's programming.
Ho ho ho!
Yeah, sure.
To the max.
But then it's this: the use of meditation isn't taught in this apostate Christianity.
It isn't taught in any Christianity.
And that certainly wasn't emphasized. No, that very likely was part of the inner teaching that was. Jesus didn't make that clarification that there were two teachings. The teachings given to the masses in parables, and then there were the scientific teachings that were given to those among his disciples who were ready to receive it.
When you say the word meditation,
yes,
a lot of people who are Christians believe that it's New Age.
I
know that. The first time we talked about this was back in 1998 in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when I was doing 6 p.m. And we were talking about mind control. And I said something about, we know that the government isn't going to set up deprogramming centers around the country. And what would you have to offer? And you said to go within and to be quiet and to be still, etc., and to meditate.
Yes.
And I knew when you said that word, and I know that our listeners today, they've come a long way, but at that point in time, we hadn't delved into these types of topics. And I knew when you said that word that was going to be the thought. And I had a call from a friend, and she said, "Oh, I just love Steve Jacobson, but he's gone New Age on us." I said, "What do you mean, Cal?" She said, "Well, go meditate. Oh, you don't want to go within. Oh, and find out how yucky, ucky, terrible we are. And I said, Cal, my understanding, when we pray, we're talking to God. When we meditate, we're listening for God.
Yes.
And anyway, I got in. I knew that if it was her, that many of our listeners might have felt the same way. So I went into Strong's Concordance, and I looked up the word meditation, and it's, I think, 18 times. And I shared that with them, it just, you know, at least as a beginning thought. Meditation has nothing to do with New Age. It's going within. It's being
spiritual. That's right. It's a part of the scientific. It's a scientific process to reconnect with what is already there. And the programming in fundamentalist Christianity is that meditation is harmful. That it opens
you up to influence from
Satan.
Right. And not only that, but why would we want to look? Because we're born sinners. Why would we want to go inside? That's what she said. Don't you know how ucky, yucky,
sure.
terrible...
Sure, and that's, well, it shows how good that her programming was.
Yes.
To prevent her...
Instead of realizing and knowing, I may not be playing the symphony the way it was written. However, I know that our Creator doesn't make mistakes. And so that even though I don't be it all the time, that I am a child of God and a beloved child of God. I know that. And that if we could know that, all of us know it, and know that within us is the beauty and the perfection, the light, the love, all of the qualities of our Creator, because we're one with our Creator. And there's nothing New Age about that.
No, not at all. But that isn't encouraged because it goes against the conditioning and programming.
We're almost, again, at the end of this hour, and I would like it if you would give them, our listeners, your address again.
Sure. The website is mindcontrolinamerica.com, mindcontrolinamerica.com, and the mailing address is MCIA Media, P.O. Box 15734, P.O. Box 15734, Winston-Salem, it's two words hyphenated, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, zip 27113, and the telephone number is area code 336-723-6535, 336-723-6535.
That was perfect timing. Folks, we're out of our hour again. We're out of our week here, our broadcast week, and we will be back with you on Monday. We'll see what Monday brings. Stephen, these last two evenings have been delightful, and it's so eye-opening, and I hope that our listeners have appreciated you as much as I have, and I do. And thank you so much for being with us, my dear.
Well, my pleasure, Jackie, always. And thank you, and thank you, listening audience.
Yes, and ladies and gentlemen, have a lovely weekend. Have a peaceful, loving weekend, or 4 days, and we'll be back with you Monday. Good night. Thank you for being here. God bless you, folks. Night, Stephen.
Good night.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your